Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome to the new age, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. My name is JD, and we do this every single day, Monday through Friday, live from 10 o'clock Central until noon. And cannot thank all of you enough for joining us once again on the broadcast, and appreciate all of you guys tuning in every single day. We do our best to bring you the most current and up-to-date information on the internet and things that are going on around the world that we feel like are going to be important to your decision-making process. So it's always our goal to bring you the best and most current up-to-date information about what's happening on this crazy rock. And you can find all of that by going to redpillreports.com. Again, appreciate everybody checking out the website, sharing it on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook, join our Twitter feed. There's all kinds of ways that you can get involved. Check out our YouTube channel. We've got lots of good things going on behind the scenes right now. And as I said, we do our best to bring you the most pertinent and up-to-date information every day. If you go to redpillreports.com, you will find the day's show section, and under which there will be a list of all of the articles that we're going to try and cover for you guys today, all the major events that are going on. And as part of trying to bring you the best information in the world, I have to let you guys know today is going to be an amazing show. This is going to be a high watermark for Red Pill Reports without a doubt, because we are going to be joined in the 11 o'clock hour by one Deborah Taveras. Now, for those of you who don't know Deborah, I'll just give you a heads up right now. You're going to want to have the tightest fitting hat that you could possibly have on, because her information will have the propensity to rock your taco. And I mean that completely seriously. She is probably one of the most well-documented researchers in the arena of Agenda 21, in smart meters, and the global control grid that seems to be going up around us. And she always has the most up-to-date information, and it's always incredibly well-documented, incredibly well-researched. You will learn things today that you won't learn anyplace else, ladies and gentlemen. So I definitely encourage you guys to stick with us through the first hour and into the second. When, as I mentioned before, Deborah Taveras will be joining us. And also, to round out the week, we are going to have another amazing show tomorrow. I can only give you a little bit of insight, but Michael Rosecliffe will be joining us tomorrow. Michael Rosecliffe has invented a system that works in conjunction with the internet that allows him to peer into the future. Yep, that's right. He is about as close to a future teller as you could possibly get, and has got an accuracy rating somewhere in the 96th percentile. So, it being Friday, we're very much looking forward to having Michael on tomorrow. And again, the today and tomorrow will be two programs that you absolutely do not want to miss, and would encourage all of you to tune in once again tomorrow for that show as well. Want to quickly thank Truth Frequency once again for having us on the network. It's just been such a wonderful time. We're getting fantastic emails. Can't tell you how much we appreciate all of the support. Please go to Truth Frequency and support the sponsors. Make a small donation if you're able. We'll help keep this network at the top of the heap in terms of alternative news and information. And speaking of alternative news and information, there are a lot of things to get into today. So let's just jump right in to the international news. There's been more escalation, I guess I should say, between the United States and Russia. And a report coming out of Moscow yesterday is signifying that Russia's long-range bombers are going to conduct regular patrol missions from the Arctic Ocean to the Caribbean and inside the Gulf of Mexico, according to a military spokesman as of yesterday. NATO has already reported a spike in military Russian flights over the Black, Baltic, and North Seas, as well as the Atlantic Ocean. NATO's chief commander has also accused Moscow of sending troops along with new tanks and new troops into Ukraine, which is a claim quickly rejected by Moscow in the last few days. The defense secretary of Moscow said Russian long-range bombers would be conducting flights along the Russian borders and over the Arctic Ocean. He added that in the current situation, we will have to maintain military presence over the Western Atlantic and Eastern Pacific, as well as the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico. He said the increased pace and duration of flights would require stronger maintenance efforts, and relative directives had been issued to industries. So they are not only going to do this, but they have already laid the groundwork for all of the maintenance efforts that are going to be required, all the logistical things that are going to be required for having these bombers much closer to the United States. So these Russian nuclear-capable strategic bombers were making regular patrols across the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans back during the Cold War times, but the post-Soviet money crunch forced militaries to cut back. The bomber patrol flights have since resumed under Vladimir Putin's rule and have become increasingly frequent in the recent years. On Monday, European Leadership Network issued a report that found a sharp rise in Russian NATO military encounters since the Kremlin's annexation of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula back in March, including violations of national airspace, narrowly avoided mid-air collisions, close encounters at seas, harassment of reconnaissance planes, and close overflights of warships and Russian mock bombing raid missions. Three of the nearly 40 incidents, according to this think tank, carried a high probability of causing casualties or triggering a direct military confrontation. A narrowly avoided collision between a civilian airliner and a Russian surveillance plane, and the abduction of an Estonian intelligence officer, and the large-scale Swedish hunt for a suspected Russian submarine that yielded no results. In September, the report said Russian strategic bombers in the Labrador Sea off of Canada practiced cruise missile strikes against the U.S. Earlier this year in May, the report said that Russian military aircraft came within 80 kilometers of the California coast, the closest such recorded Russian military flights since the end of the Cold War, and ties between Russia and the United States have dipped to their lowest point since the Cold War over Moscow's annexation of Crimea and support for pro-Russian insurgents in the eastern Ukraine. The West and Ukraine have continuously accused Moscow of fueling the rebellion with troops and weapons. And, of course, we all know that Russia continues to deny these claims. But it does seem as if we will see more Russian bombers patrolling inside the Gulf of Mexico. Probably not a great thing. We do know also that they have been teaming up with lots of countries around the world to expand their ability to park at bases, to have logistical teams there for refueling and things like that. So we will see places like Cuba and probably Venezuela coming back into the news regarding this exact situation. So we will keep an eye on that for you guys. Some climate change news, and I would normally keep this in the environmental section, but because it is a global agreement agreed by China and the United States, I decided to include it in the national news today, and this comes out of Beijing. China and the United States made common cause on Wednesday against the threat of climate change, staking out an ambitious plan to jointly curb carbon emissions as a way to spur nations around the world to make their own cuts in greenhouse gases. Now, this landmark agreement, which was jointly announced by President Obama and the President Xi Jinping, includes new targets for carbon emission reductions by the United States and a first-ever commitment by China to stop its emissions from growing by 2030. Administration officials said the new agreement, which was worked out quietly between the United States and China over the last 9 months and included a letter from Obama to Mr. Xi proposing a joint effort, could galvanize efforts to negotiate a new global climate agreement by 2015. It was the signature achievement of the unexpectedly productive 2 days of meetings between the leaders of Mr. Obama and Mr. Xi, also agreed to a military accord designed to avert clashes between American and Chinese planes and warships in the tense waters off of the Chinese coast, as well as an understanding to cut tariffs for technology products. And we're going to talk about the cutting of tariffs for technology products when we get a little bit further into the news today, when we get into the science and technical stuff, because I think it relates to that more. But I'll just preface that by saying that it was a major, major, major tariff cut going on between the United States and China announced yesterday as well. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. The climate deal between China and the United States, which is the world's number one and number two carbon polluters, is viewed as essential to concluding a new global accord, because unless Beijing and Washington can resolve their differences, climate experts say few other countries will agree to mandatory cuts in emissions, and any other meaningful worldwide pact will be most likely to flounder. So this was a major move yesterday, and again, I like that they pointed out somewhat diplomatically that this was all done under the cover of darkness, so to speak, as they're all secret meetings that were going on. But the world is moving ahead in the battle against climate change, which we could have lots of talks about whether or not that's something that we should be doing right now. But it looks like the corporations that are masquerading as the government are moving ahead without our say-so anyway, which I would consider to be par for the course for living in this wonderful, wonderful society that we've built. Azerbaijan shot down an Armenian helicopter in Karabakh just last night. The Mi-24 helicopter belonging to the armed forces of the Nagorno-Karabakh Republic, pardon me on that, was hit as a result of a ceasefire violation by the Azerbaijani side during a training fight at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. So more Middle East turmoil, and even in areas that we can't pronounce or have no idea where they are. Still happening there, guys. Still happening. Speaking of still happening, Israel and the West Bank and Palestine are still absolutely a tinderbox waiting to go up in flames. As of yesterday, Israeli settlers have torched a mosque in the occupied West Bank, according to Palestinian officials, and amid growing tensions and violence in the territory and occupied East Jerusalem. The attack on the mosque went down just before dawn on Wednesday near the Jewish settlement of Shiloh and came after a separate Palestinian knife attack on Monday killed a settler in the southern West Bank, according to an Israeli soldier in Tel Aviv. Also overnight, a Molotov cocktail was thrown into an ancient synagogue in the Arab-Israeli town of Sharafam, causing minor damage, and police said the structure is not currently used for worship. Let's see here. The attack on the mosque comes as Israeli-Palestinian tensions are soaring, mostly against the background of competing claims to the holy site in Jerusalem's Old City. Ongoing unrest has been triggered by Muslim fears of Jewish encroachment at the site where Al-Aqsa Mosque stands. The hilltop plateau, known to Muslims as Haram al-Sharif, or Noble Sanctuary, and to the Jews as the Temple Mount. This, in turn, has fanned strife in a region already on edge following the collapse of U.S.-led peace talks and Israelis' bloody war last summer in the Gaza Strip and new Israeli settlement construction plans in the occupied East Jerusalem. So we do see continued escalation going on involving Palestine and Israel, and who knows where that is going to end up, but it does not look like it is abating currently right now. So moving on to some other issues in the news. There was an attack against some Navy sailors in Turkey yesterday that has hit the news. Three U.S. Navy sailors were assaulted and had bags placed over their heads during a stop in Istanbul, Turkey yesterday. The incident, which was captured on video, happened Wednesday when sailors from the USS Rost were attacked by members of the Turkish Youth Union, according to local Turkish press accounts. And this is a quote saying that the U.S. Navy officials are working with the embassy and NCIS to investigate the incident. The three sailors were unharmed and are safely back aboard their vessel. They did not require medical attention, and the assailants appeared to be neo-nationalists, shouting slogans like Yankee go home, according to local press accounts, and they did not appear to be tied to ISIS, which is based in neighboring Syria. So that happened yesterday, and thank goodness those sailors were okay and are okay, but just goes to show that even if it's not ISIS that is a threat, there are still countless things that can go wrong for our troops overseas, and man, our hearts just go out to these poor guys that signed up thinking they were going to do the right thing, and now they're in this horrible situation. Just my heart goes out to those guys. News out of the National Post right now, moderate Syrian rebels defecting to ISIS, and they are blaming the lack of U.S. support and weapons. So this is, of course, news out of Turkey, talking about the Western-backed moderate rebels fighting jihadists in Syria. Now they are refusing to do battle and have even defected over to the jihadist side for lack of weapons and promised support, according to their leader. And despite President Barack Obama's strategy outlined last month to arm and fund rebels to fight the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham and the Assad regime, armed supplies remained at a trickle, according to these Western-backed moderates. And even when they received the heavier weapons, they came encumbered with bureaucracy. Of course, these bureaucratic conditions are imposed because of America's longstanding fear that the weapons provided to the moderate rebels will end up in the hands of jihadists. And the most recent experience of moderate rebels suggests that that policy of bureaucratic conditions is actually now causing the backfiring to happen, because two of the most important American-backed groups were attacked and overrun earlier this month by al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda's branch in Syria, and they are putting that defeat down to a lack of international support. So our greatest fear, which was how do you choose between a real rebel and a moderate rebel, and how do we ensure that once we get them weapons that they don't just go rolling right uphill to al-Nusra or to some of the other groups that are fighting alongside of ISIS. And here it is, we can't. We haven't been able to do that, so there we go. More weapons falling into the hands of the jihadists that are trying to hurt us, apparently, if you buy into that hype. So that is happening also. French lawmakers are going to be voting on November 28th on a proposal by the Socialist Party, which is going to be urging the government to recognize Palestine as a state. Now, this is a non-binding, but again, highly symbolic vote that would follow a similar vote that just took place in the British Parliament and after Sweden announced that it would formally recognize the state of Palestine. British lawmakers voted overwhelmingly on October 13th in favor of non-binding motion to recognize the state of Palestine along with the state of Israel as a contribution to securing a negotiated two-side state solution. Sweden announced on October 30th it officially recognized the state of Palestine, a move criticized by Israel and the United States, of course. And the Palestinian Authority estimates that 134 countries total have now recognized Palestine as a state, even though, although that number is disputed, and several recognitions are by what European member states date back to the Soviet era. On Saturday, Europe's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, called for Palestinian state sharing Jerusalem as its capital with Israel. So we see, again, more tinderbox going on between Israel and Palestine, and more countries around the world that are deciding that that it's probably time to really look into a two-state solution. And I could not be happier to report news like that. Afghanistan's opium production has hit a record high, according to a new UN report. The total area under cultivation was about 224,000 hectares in 2014, which is a 7% increase from last year. Obviously, many of you out there listening know that one of the main reasons that we went to Afghanistan was to protect this opium production. It is part of the $600 billion a year industry that funds our black market and the, well, it funds just about every act of terrorism on the planet. And Afghanistan right now grows about 80% of the world's opium, which is used to produce highly addictive heroin. And the United States has been guarding those fields for a very, very long time. And so I guess we're doing our job very, very well. The U.S.-led airstrikes have killed 856 people in Syria. And according to a monitor, only 50 of those were civilians. Airstrikes by the U.S.-led forces in Syria have killed 865 people, including 50 civilians since the start of the campaign in late September against the Islamic State militants, a group monitoring the war said on Wednesday. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the majority of deaths, which were 746, were Islamic State fighters, and the actual figure could be much higher. Islamic State has seized tracts of territory in Syria and neighboring Iraq, where it has also been targeted by U.S.-led forces since July. 8 of the civilians killed were children, and it says 68 members of the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Al-Nusra Front were also killed in the airstrikes, which started September 23rd. And isn't it an unusual yardstick that we have for success? Because I'm under the impression that 865-50 is a winning score, according to the people who run NATO. I personally don't agree with that at all, because civilians are civilians, and this is just, it's just crazy that we're so involved with so much war, you guys. I can't handle it anymore. So we are going to move on to some American news right now, let you guys know what is going on in your neck of the woods. There's been a new change that is coming down the pike in terms of SNAP, and the SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps. The government is installing a new incentive program called Double Up Food Bucks, and it is going to be a boon, hopefully, for local farmers as well as people on government assistance, because it gives them an opportunity to essentially purchase more fresh fruits and vegetables. So we could have a long discussion about whether or not welfare is a good thing or not. But since we do have the system in place, probably doing everything we can to encourage healthy shopping amongst these people would be a great deal. So what they're doing now is this thing called the Double Up Food Bucks program, and it allows people to get twice the amount of fresh fruit and vegetables that they normally would be able to buy. So your EBT dollars go twice as far now if you apply them to buying fresh fruit and vegetables. So, you know, some people might not see federal spending or more federal spending as a solution, but if you look at the way food stamps and other SNAP benefits are used, a lot of the money has gone into candy and prepackaged junk foods. And unfortunately, a Snickers bar or a packet of ramen noodles is a lot less expensive than a deli salad. And deli products are not usually covered by food stamps, but now they're going to be. And up until now, even the produce section has been kind of considered off limits for low-income Americans. And prepackaged meat and bread have always been available, but now fruits and vegetables are going to be more worth the purchase, and they're hoping that low-income shoppers will discover the benefits of salads instead of chips and candy for lunch. And, one of the benefits of this new government program, which will affect the dietary habits for the long time in the future, some of the other benefits are economical as well, because now people are going to be able to buy more of these things that are grown here in the United States, and hopefully that will also add a boon to food production sales. So hopefully farmers will see a little bit of a benefit from this. And the total tune of this program was $100 million, and I think that perhaps we would recoup that just in health benefits, just by getting some of these people who don't have the option of buying healthy food right now to have a better option. So I'm hoping that that is what we'll see as a result of that. Body cameras are coming to Austin, but of course watchdogs want them much sooner. Police say that the pilot programs carried out in 2011 and 2012 to test various types of body-worn cameras, offering police officers technology enough so that they could move forward on preventing, basically they're trying to prevent the officers from being accused of using excessive force, and by using these cameras they're able to do that, but they are now moving forward even more fully in terms of they have chosen now their camera system that they're going to use. They're working on funding options, and a 30-day integrity trial will be completed at the beginning of next month. So they're saying that 1,787 sworn Austin police officers, all on foot, bike, horseback, or boat and patrol car, should be recording their interactions with the public within the next year, so by late 2025. And that's one of the things that I really think needs to happen in this country, because the law enforcement officers are out of control, and we need to get them under control. And I think having the ability to completely record every interaction that they have with the public is mandatory. I'm also of the opinion that we should replace law enforcement officers with voluntary peace officers with major oversight and supervision, but that's another discussion for another day. People are going to be in for a shock on this one. The penalty for uninsured not signing up for Obamacare is scheduled now to more than triple. Americans will see their bank accounts shrink if they do not sign up for Obamacare in its second enrollment season. Uninsured Americans who decide not to enroll will face a penalty of $325 per person, more than tripling the $95 penalty for those who did not enroll to pay the first time. Children under the age of 18 will be fined $162, which is and the maximum amount of an uninsured family will be penalized at $975 using the flat rate method. And they're saying that the penalty is meant to incentivize people to get covered. So if you can't afford coverage, we're going to make you pay money on top of that just as a penalty, because we think penalizing you will incentivize you. And it's a good thing you're all so stupid, or we wouldn't have gotten this bill to pass anyway. Those aren't my words. That was the, you know, from the video yesterday or the day before from the architect of Obamacare, hanging his hat, so to speak, on the stupidity of the American people being integral in the passing of Obamacare. But now the gloves have come off, and all of you are going to be expected to pay triple the amount if you don't enroll. I myself will not be enrolling, so feel free to send me any bill. If you guys are asking me for Federal Reserve notes, I would probably clarify to you that you can't pay a debt with a debt, so good luck with all that, you guys. Anyway, let's see. The FCC has decided to delay the U.S. vote on net neutrality, and the debate over net neutrality, which is the principle that all network traffic on the internet be treated equally, has obviously intensified in the last few days, with President Obama coming out this week saying that he wants the FCC to impose strong rules to protect net neutrality. So lots of things happening with this particular story, and it kind of bleeds over into the tech and into the economic news, which we will jump into right when we get back from this break. I want to remind everybody, stay tuned in the 11 o'clock hour. Deborah Tavares will join us. Get your tightest fitting hat on to keep your head from exploding. The information will be monumental. My name is JD. This is your Daily Dose of Deprogramming. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the 13th day of November. Keep it right here, guys.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Doctrine Ministries with Kenneth Emanuel.
Sunday on True Frequency Radio.
And I hope wherever you are staying warm because it is so cold here. It is just ridiculous. I'm reminded this morning about why I moved away from Missouri so many years ago, and it was because of the winters. Normally, I would say it was because of the summers, but the summer this year was really mild and wonderful, actually. It bolstered a lot of hope in me that maybe Missouri was turning a corner, but the corner that we turned earlier this week has been dismal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not kidding. So again, I hope wherever you guys are out there, you are enjoying your daily dose of deprogramming, and I hope you are staying warm and out of the weather. I want to jump right back into the news because, as I mentioned before, there's so many things going on, but I also want to highly recommend you guys stick tuned with the show at the 11 o'clock hour for Deborah Tavares' discussion today. It will be a mind-altering, probably, to say the least. Let's get back into this discussion about the FCC delaying their decision over net neutrality for another year, it looks like. And so, of course, this stems now from Barack Obama saying this week that he wants the FCC to impose strong rules to protect net neutrality, which is something I firmly believe in, and I'm very surprised that he would come out on that side. And I can only imagine that there are some monetary gains to be had. And again, also want to point out that if the FCC ends up running the internet like the post office, that we'll all probably suffer for that. But service providers have said now that they're going to fight the moves to impose stricter regulations. So we can see the battle lines being drawn between the FCC and the consumer base that is wildly, wildly in favor of net neutrality against the other side, which is going to be, of course, the large internet service providers that stand to make a lot of money by segregating the internet into different systems. So, of course, this debate that we're talking about hinges on whether or not service providers are going to be allowed to charge some net firms in order to prioritize their traffic on the internet. So internet service providers argue they should be allowed to charge more for heavy data services such as Netflix. But of course, net advocates say that doing so would undermine the principles of a free and equal internet for all. Many ISPs were stunned yesterday when Barack Obama made his statement urging the FCC to reclassify them so that they could be regulated more like other utilities. Net neutrality has been built into the fabric of the internet since its creation, according to Barack Obama. And he says, we cannot allow internet service providers to restrict the best access or to pick winners and losers in the online marketplace for services and ideas. And the FCC received more than 4 million, the largest amount ever received by the FCC, 4 million public comments urging the same thing that the president outlined. Now, in response, the telecommunication industry said that it will lobby the FCC not to go down that route and is willing to go to court if that doesn't work. And when we get a little bit further along into the economic news, I've got some pretty major news about what AT&T is going to be doing in response to this. So just stick tuned for just a few minutes, and we'll jump right back into that story. But I want to get on to another one that occurred here this last week. Hackers from China apparently breached the Federal Weather Network recently, forcing cybersecurity teams to seal off data vital to disaster planning, aviation, shipping, and scores of other crucial uses, according to officials. Now, this intrusion occurred in late September, but officials gave no indication that they had a problem until October 20th, said three people familiar with the hack and the subsequent reaction by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which includes the National Weather Service. And even then, NOAA did not admit that its systems were compromised. Now, NOAA officials declined to discuss the suspected source of the attack, whether it affected classified data, and whether or not it delayed any of the notifications that were sent out by NOAA. It said publicly last month that it was doing unscheduled maintenance on its network, but it did not say whether that unscheduled maintenance had to do with this computer hack or whether that computer hack made this unscheduled maintenance necessary. I think we can probably all put those dots together in our own minds. And then in a statement released yesterday, NOAA spokesman Scott Smullen acknowledged the hacks and said the incident response began immediately. He said all the systems were working again and the forecasts were accurately delivered to the public. He did go on to decline answering any other questions beyond that statement, citing that there is a pending investigation into the attack. Now, why China would want to hack into our weather systems? That's a good question. I'm not really sure. Probably has to do a lot with the way that weather can affect disaster planning, aviation, shipping, and all those other crucial areas. So China seems to be, even though on a diplomatic front we seem to be doing pretty well with them, they seem to be moving still in terms of espionage against us. You know, we just had the story about the post office being hacked earlier this week, also suggested that it was come out of China. The police killings, according to an FBI report now, guys, are the highest in two decades. The number of felony suspects fatally shot by police last year was 461 and is the most in two decades, according to this new FBI report. This is called a justifiable homicide count contained in the FBI's annual Uniform Crime Report, and it has become increasingly scrutinized in recent months as questions continue to be raised about the use of lethal force by law enforcement. Of course, national attention has been drawn to these cases all the way from New York to Albuquerque, and now much of the focus is on Ferguson, Missouri, where the rest of St. Louis suburb awaits the decision of a grand jury weighing the fatal shooting in August of a black teenager by a white police officer. The death of Michael Brown prompted weeks of protest and large questions about whether the operations of a largely white police department working in a majority African-American community. The Justice Department is conducting a parallel inquiry into the shooting August 9th and a broader review of Ferguson law enforcement operations and whether the department has engaged in a pattern of practicing discriminatory policy. This year, the USA Today analysis of the FBI's justifiable homicide database during a seven-year period ending in 2012 found that on average 96 incidents each year, there were on average 96 incidents a year, which included a white officer killing a black person. And the new 2013 total of justifiable killings represents the third consecutive increase in the annual toll. Criminal justice analysts said the inherent limitations of the database, the killing of self-reported by law enforcement and not all police agencies participating in the annual counts continue to frustrate efforts and these efforts to identify the universe of lethal force in incidents involving police officers. So even though that report has come out, there is a lot of people suggesting that the information is not accurate and probably very, very conservative compared to what actually could be going on. So are you more likely to be killed by a law enforcement officer these days than by a terrorist? Yes, that is the long and the short of it, ladies and gentlemen. GM, the car manufacturer, back in the news again, and not for a good reason. There have been what are being classified as explosive emails released in the latest round of this GM Motors recall case, and these emails suggest that General Motors leaders knew about the deadly ignition switch defect involving millions of cars months before they notified the federal government. This ignition switch issue has now been linked to more than 30 deaths, and these new emails indicate that GM was well aware of the defect before they told the public. Now, GM issued a massive recall for faulty ignition switches, which can cause cars to suddenly turn off, disabling airbags. And they initiated that recall back in February. But newly released emails reveal 2 months before the recall, on December 18th, a GM contract worker ordered 500,000 replacement ignition switches from a parts company in Delphi to support what they were calling internally at the time urgent field action. And the very next day, another email again calls the situation urgent, saying that they needed to start seeing shipments ASAP. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. No one has been indicted criminally from GM right now, but I believe since these emails have come out, there probably will be some criminal indictments now, because now we're looking at gross negligence that has resulted in the death of people, and of course that is unacceptable in terms of reality. So that's what's happening with GM. I would expect that they will probably stay in the news for a long, long time. Let's get into some economic news right now. I want to look at the markets, which are up. Dow is sitting at 17,636, up about 23 points from yesterday. Let's see, gold is right at 1160 right now, which is up about $2 from yesterday. And silver seems to be pretty stagnant, staying right at 1566. And let's look at oil really quickly, coming down a little bit to 75.41, which is just over 2.25% dropping from yesterday. So more goofiness going on with the commodities markets. I want to point out also that Bitcoin had a major rally yesterday and is now sitting well above the $400 mark at $438, which is a pleasant sign if you are into Bitcoin. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the story that we mentioned yesterday about the gentleman implanting microchips under his skin so he could use Bitcoin more effectively, but that story came out and now Bitcoin is up. So there you go. I hope all of you are working towards being international and being diversified, and one of the best things you can do to be diversified, I think, today is precious metals and probably Bitcoin, just because I think that getting away from the central banks is probably pretty key at this point. Okay, so we have talked ad nauseum about this Forex scandal, but a lot of people still are pretty confused about what actually happened out there. I do have a follow-up story to this one coming down from England yesterday regarding the fines that went out to the large banks. But Zero Hedge did such a fantastic job really kind of bringing this whole thing into focus. And they did it in a way where they're essentially explaining everything that you need to know about the bank market rigging settlement in about 34 words. So we're just going to bring this right down to the brass tacks. So, you know, you can read the volumes of available literature explaining everything in the world that has transpired since the first LIBOR manipulation became public. And you could also then move on to the proceedings with the FX, and you could go to gold and so on. Well, and so on would include the E-minis, the treasuries, the options, blah, blah, blah. We can go on and on and on. You can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what happened. But here, essentially, in a nutshell, is exactly what happened, is that the banks have been allowed to investigate themselves. The investigated decided what they wanted to investigate, what they wanted to admit to, and how much they wanted to pay. See, wasn't that easy? So we have saved you so much time of reading. Now you can just waste all your rest of your morning and go put some money into the rigged market at 11 o'clock and sell it all off at 11:30 and just do that every day and probably outperform 98% of the hedge funds, according to Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge. That is everything you need to know about the market rigging scandal. The banks investigated themselves. They decided that they probably were way less guilty than we would have. And now let's move on to what the fallout from that is going to be. And this story comes out of the Star Telegram from London, outlining the fines that came down the pike yesterday. Traders with nicknames like the Three Musketeers and the A-Team plotted over the internet chat rooms to manipulate currency markets for years, profiting at the expense of clients, and then congratulating themselves for their brilliance, according to regulators yesterday, as they fined five banks $3.4 billion. These banks, of course, are Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, the Royal Bank of Scotland, HSBC Bank, and USB, and they all agreed to settlements totaling almost $3.4 billion with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, UK Financial Conduct Authority, and the Swiss Financial Market Supervisory Authority. The British regulator said that Barclays still remains under investigation. Meanwhile, a United States Treasury Department agency announced it was fining three of the largest U.S. banks, again, JP Morgan Chase & Company, Bank of America, and Citigroup, a total of $950 million for failing to prevent misconduct in their Fortune Exchange trading operations. Probably goes without saying here, but if you split 950 in three, come down to your about, you know, your $300 million fine for each one, that is a rounding error to these people, guys. This is nothing when you're talking about quadrillions of dollars in outstanding derivatives. Absolutely nothing. This is barely even a slap on the wrist for these people. So, no lessons to be learned in all of this, I can imagine. But, there were some fines that were levied against major banks yesterday. We'll see if they clean up their act. I would imagine that that's probably not going to happen. I want to jump back into the U.S. and China story, talking about eliminating tariffs. They came to an agreement on late Monday night, agreeing to drop tariffs on a slew of tech products amounting to $1 trillion in global sales. And this, of course, was announced Wednesday of this week. After more than a year of stalled talks, amidst strained relations, the countries were able to reach an agreement to eliminate tariffs on products ranging from medical devices and video game consoles to semiconductors and GPS devices, and the deal includes 200 different tariff categories, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. Analysts consider the deal to be encouraging news for both countries, and the expanded pact could create as many as 60,000 jobs in the United States and increase global annual gross domestic product by $190 billion, according to a White House fact chief. So, getting further into bed with China as they are hacking our, post offices and our weather systems and gosh only knows what else is going on. In similar, somewhat scary related news, Jim Milstein, who is a restructuring banker at Lazard, has now become a senior restructuring officer of the United States Treasury, according to a source familiar with the situation. Milstein, who had served on Barack Obama's economic and international trade team for the development of the Treasury's transition team, started work at the Treasury on Tuesday of this week, and his last day at Lazard was on Friday. According to public reports, Milstein sent out a memo to his friends saying he would join the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner in addressing the U.S. government's financial institutions' investments and enabling new structures to correct the troubled financial system. Before joining Lazard in 2000 as a managing director, Milstein practiced bankruptcy law at Cleary Gottlieb, and he is the son of Ira Milstein and Wheel and Golf Show managers as a senior partner. In recent months, several former pros at Lazard have joined the Obama administration. Steve Ratner, the embattled auto industry czar, who is at the center of the Quadrangle Partners pay-to-play controversy, is a former member of Lazard. And in addition, Ron Bloom, a senior advisor in that task force, was also previously a vice president at Lazard. So we see more examples of the revolving door between big banking interests and the supposed government that we have, which is really, understandably, a for-profit corporation at this point. Which, you know, here we go. More bankers joining the team. Good times. Love it. Happy to be a part of it all. Russia is prepared now to brace for a long economic war with the West, according to Russia. Now, Russia is battening down the hatches for a long battle with the West, expecting sanctions to last until at least 2017, and has admitted that capital flight has been significantly higher than previously claimed. The central bank slashed its growth forecast for the next year to zero and warned of near-recession conditions until late in the decade. It said capital outflows would reach $128 billion this year, and this new realism ends the pretense that Russia is strong enough to weather the end of the commodity supercycle without suffering serious damage, or that Western sanctions are little more than an irritation. President Putin had previously said that the effect would probably dissipate within months, but it does seem like Russia is now gearing up for a long battle with the West in terms of the economy. As I mentioned a little while ago, Bitcoin surged past the $400 mark yesterday. Not really sure what exactly is driving that, but that happened. So if you are interested in Bitcoin, kudos to you. I hope you're making some decent investments in that. Let's see here. Moving on, I want to get into some tech news here real quick, guys, because we mentioned the story about the satellite trying to land on a comet yesterday, and lo and behold, it was successful. They actually were able to send a satellite 300 million miles away and then launch a probe from that satellite and touch down softly onto a comet. And I, man, that is just probably one of the most remarkable pieces of news that we will talk about in a long time. They're not sure if it was 100% successful. They feel like the probe may have bounced a little bit when it landed, so they may not have ended up in the exact right spot, but they do feel pretty confident they're going to go ahead and move forward with some of the scientific testing that they're going to do, most of which involves drilling down into the core of the comet and trying to take samples and then beaming the results of that sampling back to the group that's responsible for landing the lander. So we will probably find out more about the composition of comets than we ever have before. This is going to be a monumental leap for science, and what a remarkable achievement. I don't know how you guys come down on technology being a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm very impressed that they were able to do that. I mean, 300 million miles and then still be able to control something like that. It's just remarkable. Getting back into the FCC debate right now, AT&T has decided to pause their 100-city fiber build-out because of this concern about net neutrality. So AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson said yesterday that his company will pause investments in fiber networks until the net neutrality debate is over. And, of course, FCC has said that no end to that debate will be forthcoming this year. So what we can then extrapolate from this is that this 100-city fiber optic plan that AT&T had supposedly already begun could be permanently on hold for at least a year. And AT&T said in April that it would expand its ultra-fast fiber optic network to 100 candidate cities and municipalities nationwide. But it never promised to build all of them, and buildouts were dependent on local officials cooperating with the company. AT&T has also claimed that it will bring fiber to 2 million additional locations if the federal government approves its purchase of DirecTV. So here you go. I mean, this is absolute definitive strong-arming taking place, you know, because for a corporation. And, you know, more pressure coming down. Isn't that interesting, though, that they, you know, A, there is a lot of speculation about whether AT&T had even started building this 100-city fiber optic plan. And now they're saying, oh, you know, we're going to stop something that it's potential that they hadn't even started in to begin with. And the word temper tantrum comes to mind. I don't know about you guys, but when I see a company as large as AT&T, remember, they just bought Lucasel. So they're going to become the largest service provider in Mexico also. So there's not there's no limit to the funding options that AT&T has. But now that they're going to take their ball and go home if they don't get their way, I just find that to be, you know, disgusting. And of course, here you are, you know, more strong arming by corporations to get their way, which is going to negatively affect everybody. They want to make more money by, you know, providing service to Netflix and people like that. And it all comes down to profit over people. Interesting report about Stuxnet. Stuxnet was the virus that hit Iran's top secret facilities just a few, it was about 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And Kaspersky, which is a great Russian anti-Trojan, what do you want to call it? An anti-bad things on the internet type of company. That's not the right words. Anyway, Kaspersky has identified the first victims of the infamous Stuxnet worm, which attacked Iran's nuclear development program. More than 4 years have passed since the discovery of one of the most sophisticated and dangerous malicious programs has been brought to light. And, of course, we're talking about the Stuxnet worm here. According to Kaspersky, it is considered to be the world's first cyber weapon and is designed to target industrial control systems. And there are still several mysteries that surround the story. The main question remains, what were the exact goals of the Stuxnet operation? And after analyzing more than 2,000 Stuxnet files collected over a two-year period, Kaspersky lab researchers have now identified the first victims of the worm. And initially, security researchers had no doubt that the whole attack had a very targeted nature to it. They say that the code of the Stuxnet worm looks very professional and exclusive. There is evidence that extremely expensive zero-day vulnerabilities were used. But it was not yet known what kind of organizations were attacked first and how the malware ultimately made it right through into the uranium enrichment centrifuges on top secret facilities. and this new analysis by Kapersky sheds light on these questions. According to Kapersky, all five organizations that were initially attacked operate within the industrial control systems area in Iran, developing ICS or supplying materials or parts. The fifth organization to be targeted is the most intriguing because, among other products for industrial automation, it produces uranium enrichment centrifuges. So this is precisely the kind of equipment that it was believed to be the main target of Stuxnet, and it is believed that the attackers expected these organizations would exchange data with their clients, such as the uranium enrichment facilities, and this would make it possible to get the malware inside of their targeted facilities. And according to the outcome, it was that plan apparently successful. So interesting news about the Stuxnet virus. If you guys are interested in tech stuff or hacking, there's a lot more to be learned about that as well. And then in some really good news revolving the EU and GM crops, members of the European Parliament agreed yesterday on draft rules allowing individual governments to refuse growing genetically modified crops in their territories, even if the products have already been authorized on a European level. So this plan could help reconcile anti- and pro-GM countries, unlock stalled approval processes, and lead to more GM crops in European fields, although many countries are likely to take this opportunity to restrict them. So this is a great move here, some individual power being returned to the individual European member states so that they can kind of control what's going on in their environments. And I think that this is, you know, more examples of why these large control type systems they're just not functional. You have too many people spread over too many areas, and you have too much interest in knowing the truth. And once the truth gets out, you can see how that causes, more distress amongst the population. So I hope now that we will see this plan come into fruition and we will start to see more GM bans popping up around the world and especially in the EU, because that is outstanding news. That's something I like to see. We've got a lot of health news that I'm not going to be able to get today. I'll give you some of the headlines right now. The first one, thousands of nurses strike over Ebola measures in California. There are 20,000 nurses that walked out in Northern California on Tuesday. News about the Ebola outbreak as deaths have passed the 5,000 mark, according to reports from BBC. I'd recommend everyone go to redpillreports.com and check out the daily news section so you can find out how many articles I was not able to get to today. There's a lot of health news and a couple of happy stories in there for you guys as well. Keep it with us over this next 3 breaks. We'll be right back with Deborah Tavares. Get your tight-fitting hat on. Thank you guys very much for being here. We'll be right back.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, Dave.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. It is 11 o'clock Central Time right now, and we are live. I can barely contain my excitement here, ladies and gentlemen. I am not going to lie. We are now going to be joined by the one and only Deborah Tavares, who is literally the most well-documented researcher in the arenas of Agenda 21, in the arena of smart grid technology, and in this total control grid that seems to be encroaching upon all our daily lives moment by moment. And she has come here to us today to bring us the most up-to-date and current information that you will be able to get anywhere in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I am super thankful for Deborah joining us today. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Everyone may know that I am here in Northern California, about an hour north of San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm also very near Bohemian Grove. And we have discovered, the purposes of sharing this with everyone, that Rothschild has an extremely heavy influence in this Northern Bay Area, as well as likely in all of your towns. I would recommend, before I really start rolling in to the latest scam, that everyone type in the name of their town, followed by Rothschild and Veolia, V-E-O-L-I-A. That's Rothschild. Okay. We discovered that Pacific Gas and Electric, which the acronym is PG&E. PG&E is rolling out the smart meters here, as well as the template for all of the utility companies across the country. When you type in PG&E followed by Rothschild, you quickly see that Rothschild controls PG&E. PG&E was at the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro and was intentionally positioned to be for utility companies across the United States. So also we recently that the headwaters here in Sonoma County that supply not only Sonoma County but Marin in California, the water rights were obtained by PG&E in 1930. So the headwaters here that bring us the water through via one of the rivers, the Russian River, which straddles near Bohemian Grove, is owned by Rothschild. We learned that in January of 2014, PG&E asked the Public Utility Commission here in California for permission to reduce the flows from the Eel River, E-E-L, which, again, goes into the Russian River, to reduce the water availability here, to add to the illusion of water scarcity. Wow. Now, why do I say illusion? This is most important for everyone that is listening today, to get this information out as far and wide as possible. For many of you that know that I covered the Bundy Ranch when they were under siege, this is another siege. This is in a different method. Again, there are redundant systems of assaults to take away our private property, to reduce the food supply, and reduce the population. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get into what I'm going to really announce here in a moment. But I want everyone to know what the Iron Mountain Report told us. This was a report that was tasked in the 1961. It took a few years for them to complete it. When it was completed, it was given to Johnson, who replaced John F. Kennedy after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And the report is to determine the minimum and optimum levels of destruction of life, the destruction of property, and the destruction of natural resources on the possibility and desirability of peace. Now let's break this down. They're talking about total destruction of life, property, and natural resources, and to determine the minimum and optimum levels of all of that destruction.
Wow.
On desirability of peace. What has happened is we have been tricked by doublespeak, by double talk, and more importantly, by the Delphi technique. We have all been Delphied. It's most important for everyone to understand what Delphi looks like, because it's at every single level of government. It's in every single level of international meetings. It is a meeting technique that was devised by the Rand Corporation in the 60s. It is an extension of the Tavistock Institute out of Europe. And that is all about mind control and manipulation.
Deborah, would you also qualify it as, you know, in a simple term, just a methodology for controlling the outcome of a conversation?
That's absolutely right. It is. There are already predetermined agendas. In other words, if you go to a school board meeting, the predetermined agenda is to bring in Common Core.
Right.
Many people have been opposed to Common Core. They're going to their school board meetings and trying to present data and information to convince the school board not to further insertion of the Common Core curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these groups that are fighting boldly are sadly going to the very perpetrators that are initiating the Common Core curriculum. Why do I say that? Well, the school boards, your counties, your cities, they're all incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
They are all in position. All the council members, school board members, all the bodies of people are working for the corporate structure, because everything is incorporated.
Correct.
Also, everything is based on falsified consensus science. Now, when we talk about Delphi, we must understand that it is a consensus-based agenda. And I recently discovered something very, very concerning. And we'll get back to water, but I want to certainly point out that right now, in our rural country areas, the assault is on eliminating and actually consolidating the volunteer fire departments. And why are they reducing fire services in the country? That is because all area that is outside of these smart cities, the plans for smart cities, the urban growth boundaries of your town, are considered sprawl and unsustainable. And I recently went to a meeting, and I wanted to join this advisory meeting about the discussion. They said it would take about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a four-hour-a-month commitment. And they said, but here's what you must agree to. You must agree to a consensus approach decision model when they reach their final decision a year later. And I asked them to define that. Now, I know what that is, but I wanted everyone in the room to hear that definition.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what was said. You have two choices in making a decision after a year and a half of information being presented under the Delphi consensus model. You either need to be in favor as maybe most of the group will be, or you can live with it. Those are your two choices.
Wow.
You're either in favor with the outcome, or you can live with it. In other words, your agreement to join this group cannot be that you would oppose it.
Right.
So what is important for everyone to take home with this discussion is the level of deception, organized deception, through a strategy of mind control and bullying. Very important to understand why there has been such an emphasis on anti-bullying. That is because the entire approach to managing and manipulating all of us is a highly trained facilitator, consultants, manipulators that lead these Delphi meetings with the idea that we have public influence, and we do not. The outcomes are determined, as you said, JD, and it is a masterfully sculpted agenda of bullying, because anyone that would dare speak without being considered appropriate, they try to shut you down and embarrass you in the group.
Right.
So we're at a time right now where we have to put embarrassment aside. We must stick together, and we must understand the deception and the evil aspects of what is occurring in our country right now. And I'm going to be getting into the idea of water and the creation of scarcity that we're now seeing. In fact, I have a new YouTube up on StopTheCrime.net.
Mm-hmm.
It was just posted yesterday. Go to StopTheCrime.net to the YouTube channel to locate this YouTube. It's entitled Water Wars, Stealing Water. Water Wars, Stealing Water. Why I'm recommending that everybody watch this is because you'll see many documents that you're likely going to want to download for free from StopTheCrime.net.
Deborah, is it okay with you? I'm gonna take that video and put it into the news links from for tomorrow's show, so people have an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely,
to see that.
Okay. Absolutely, because this is absolutely critical. Why am I really underscoring this? Again, we were told by the Iron Mountain report that there would be a replacement for war, that replacement for war would have to be invented, that they would use the ecology. They would pollute it. Now, this was in 1961. They estimated it would take a generation and a half. So by 1991 is when we started hearing quite a bit of media about the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And again, industry and corporate manufacturers, the world banks, were intentionally mass polluting the planet to call it global warming. And now, of course, they're calling it climate change. This
right.
has all been schemed and planned.
Yeah, you can look up Maurice Strong if you want to really know where that started in the UN, right?
Well, that's right. But I can tell you, for those that don't have a lot of time to read, because the Iron Mountain Report is an horrific report, I can recommend that you watch the documentary, The Report from Iron Mountain.
Okay.
While it is not covering all the bases of the report itself, it is a broad enough illustration of that report so that you can understand what has happened. But what everyone needs to understand right now is that since this created and all of the treaties that the United States has signed the American people onto, the largest land grab in the history of the country has been coming down. And it is illustrated in the assaults upon the Bundy Ranch. Many ranchers and farmers on the peripheral of our cities are finding here in California that they're having forced reduction of water, so that they're having to reduce their cattle, for example. I know one rancher that had to reduce his cattle by 50% because he simply does not have enough grazing land to graze them on, and it's too costly to tank in water and to bring in a feed. So I can say to everyone that is listening, we have been scammed yet again. And what do I mean by that in this context? Many people were led to believe in school, I was, that there was scarcity in oil. All the books, all the policies talk about fossil fuel and the scarcity of fossil fuel. Well, I can tell you that when they told us there was peak oil, that there wouldn't be much oil, and they called it fossil fuel, I learned, as well as many of you now know, that fossil fuel and petroleum does not come from dead dinosaurs.
Correct.
They drill much deeper for petroleum than they've ever found fossils or plant material.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, petroleum is a renewable. The Earth manufactures it in abundance.
Yes,
it's never been
considered abiotic in the industry, really.
Well, it is. And so we've been tricked to believe that we're running out. And as a result of the trickery, which is in all the policies, and the trickery now built on the false illusion of global warming, we've now been told and taught that there's a scarcity of water. They're planning the same assault upon our lack of science and education in physics to have us believe that there's not only peak oil, but there's now peak water. And what everyone needs to do is to understand this false science. Again, they've built the false science of global warming into now that all of your cities have adopted for you. Now we have the illusion that water is scarce, and water is not. Water is in abundance. In fact, we're known and called the water planet. Water is a renewable. It is made from two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, and it is released through the fissures of the Earth, and it surfaces. In fact, most recently in August, that's the 6.0 earthquake in Napa, California. To this day, dry creeks and streams that were bone dry prior to the Napa 6.0 earthquake are now running. They're flowing with water. And the water agency also said that one of the wells that the water district of Napa has now turned into an artesian well where water is continuing to flow without even being pumped.
Wow.
What this quake did was it allowed the release of the primary water to surface. As a matter of fact, I'm being told by primary water experts that if we were to access this primary water, it would reduce the level of earthquakes because this water, as it becomes water, expands and it must be released. Now, that's a pretty unbelievable statement, as you heard me tell you. But it's more unbelievable than that because everyone must understand Israel knows about primary water. In the 50s, they hired primary water experts to locate primary water opportunities for them to drill so that they could populate Israel. Muammar Gaddafi found primary water in the desert when they were digging for oil. And the very, very sad reality about what NATO did to Libya was the first thing that they bombed was the number 8 wonder of the world, which is the great man-made river that the Libyan people were receiving water from the desert from this great man-made river project.
Mm-hmm.
And when they bombed that, 70% of the Libyan people were without water. And Muammar Gaddafi knew that this would be a threat to Libya when they were able to create independence from the world international bankers.
Right.
And he said this in 1966 during the opening of the second phase of the Great Man-Made River Project. He said, this is the to America and all the evil forces who accuse Libya of being concerned with terrorism. We are only concerned with peace and progress. America is against life and progress. It pushes the world towards darkness. Well, I can tell you, certainly we know that, you know, leaders have their flaws and frailties. But if you look at the benefits that the Libyan people had with the shared profits and revenues from oil, you will be amazed at the wonder of that government in Libya.
Yeah, I have to interject because there were so many good things going on for the people of Libya before NATO got there. I mean, these people were they would pay for you to go to school, and then once you left school, they would give you a stipend towards your house out of your salary, and then your house was completely paid off in 10 years. And Deborah's talking about the man-made river thing, which was until then the largest freshwater, municipal water program ever existed on the planet. These people had it made. I mean, if you look back at what was going on in Libya, it would have been a wonderful place to live.
Well, by and large, Las Vegas exists because they've typed in, certainly connected with primary water as well.
Right.
But we're being denied the reality of with the fact that water is a renewable. Again, we are the water planet. In fact, the atmospheric water that we're being told is the only source of water via rain, no, is an illusion. All of that is literally part of the cycle of primary water. It's the primary and secondary cycles of water. And here in California, where we're absolutely in a engineered drought,
yes,
by the capabilities of those that are controlling the weather and more, we have been water in the rain that, of course, people would believe is necessary to fill the lakes and streams. In fact, we have lakes and we have rivers now, and certainly reservoirs that are down to the extent that they've got people horrified that we may have only 20 to 30 days of water supplies in certain areas. Lake Shasta, for example, last I heard, they were down to maybe a 20-day water supply.
Wow.
So they're tightening up on the illusion of and scarcity of water. I'm going to ask that everybody please go to stopthecrime.net. Go to the primary water link and become educated with the reality that we have an abundance of water. You do not, and we do not need to drill for primary water deep, because remember, it is continuing to surface through the cracks and crevices. This is why we have springs, ongoing springs that bubble. This is why when you think of the Hawaiian Islands, they're in the middle of the ocean, and you'll see at the top of a volcanic mountain an endless flow of a beautiful cascading waterfall. We've got to ask, where is that water coming from? It's a continuous flow. It is primary water. Go to stopthecrime.net. Click on the primary water link at the top of the home page. You will see an illustration of how the water cycle works. We have been tricked. Also go to the Water Wars link on stopthecrime.net and download the plans that tell you exactly what the international bankers, Rothschild, Nestle, Coca-Cola, many perpetrators have planned to literally privatize the water in the United States. They're using corporate government agencies like the EPA and more. I discuss this in detail in that YouTube that I recommended, again, Water Wars, Stealing Water. So I would recommend everybody take a look at that YouTube. Again, download those documents. For those that are unable to download documents for free from our website, stopthecrime.net, you can contact a printing shop. And for the cost of printing and shipping, you can request whatever documents you would like by calling area code 707-586-9558. Once again, area code 707-586-9558. This is only if you're unable to download any documents from stopthecrime.net.
Okay. I have to ask you real quick, though, about the fracking agenda. Do you feel like the pollution that's being caused by the fracking is part of this agenda to destroy our water supplies in the country?
Absolutely. In one of the documents that we have posted by Goldman Sachs on Water Wars, again, I discussed this in depth in that YouTube that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Fracking is, according to Goldman Sachs, it is a shale revolution. And the reason that fracking is continuing in the United States is because Goldman Sachs says the United States has an abundance of water so that we can frack, because, as you know, JD, fracking takes a tremendous amount of water.
Yes.
Also, it's very important to understand what occurred as a result of the intentional pollution. There's a different aspect to drilling wells in the ground. They have been drilling these toxic, invisible dump sites deep into the ground and injecting corporate waste. And this has already started to result in over 150,000 of these 680,000 injection wells. They vaccinated the United States, essentially, with toxins.
Oh, my goodness.
By disguising thinking that they could dispose of these toxins by these toxic injection wells. There's about 150,000 of these that they have confirmed that are into the groundwater supply.
So now, I mean, I just want to stop up and back up. So we're saying that on top of the fracking issue, which is, you know, obviously pumping toxins into the ground to create space down there for oil recovery or natural gas recovery, you're saying that some of those wells out there, their only task now is to take the wastewater from other fracking operations and just put it back into the ground once and for all. Is that what you're saying?
No, no, that's not what I'm saying. Fracking is a separate issue.
Okay.
What they have done for decades now is they have disposed of other waste products from manufacturing by injecting into the ground.
Ugh.
And now we have, on top of all of that, we now have fracking. Again, as I said, the Goldman Sachs doc needs to download from StopTheCrime.net from the Water Wars link. Mm-hmm. Is entitled Sustainable Growth, Taking a Deep Dive into Water. And what Goldman Sachs, again, tells us is that this is a market. They are excited, as well as this other document that our research team found out of Oxford, England. This is entitled The Water Market USA, and it is about the plans and the use of other corporate agencies to, again, position the United States into turning over the public municipal water agencies into private hands. Again, I can't underscore the importance of that new video we just released. I go through this very carefully and connect the dots of all of these documents that we have posted on the website.
Yes,
really,
you do. And that's why we're... Go ahead.
Yeah, I would hope that everyone would download and watch this YouTube. Get it out far and wide. Understand the good news is that we have significant water. And I'm going to talk about a document that we just posted.
Okay, we're going to have to hold...
Water.
We'll have to hold this over until the end of this 3-minute break. I do want everyone to go to stopthecrime.net and follow along with Deborah as she moves forward into the future. We're going to be right back in 3 minutes. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA, worldwide.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube. We're bringing a whole bunch of great new additions to YouTube.
Over the years, we've noticed that a large amount of copyrighted material is uploaded by our users, which is not okay with us. So we've revamped our content identification system to make it so if you even so much as steal a quote or use a line from a movie or TV show, your video will immediately be taken down.
And finally, in order to reduce our bandwidth costs and make videos even cheaper for us to host, we've made it so that videos will always play in the lowest possible quality, 240p. This way, everyone can enjoy fast video speeds and barely average video quality.
YouTube Plus. So what are you gonna do about it?
The brother's gonna work it out.
Staunching Tyranny with Jim and Jeff Staunch.
Monday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Central Time right now. We are live like we are every day, Monday through Friday. And we are knee-deep in a discussion with Deborah Tavares right now, outlining for all of us this global corporate agenda of control that seems to be ever encroaching upon our lives and upon our resources. And specifically right now, well, we are talking about this agenda of water control. So I will open the floor back up to Deborah if you'd like to pick it up where you were. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, JD. Okay, so again, I want everyone to know the intentionality of poisoning our groundwater supply. In speaking with the primary water experts, the primary water essentially, as it works its way up to the surface, will in fact push the polluted water up. That will become the water that's accessible in our groundwater basins. So we can drink the primary water. Certainly what we have discovered in the documents, USA Inc., is that there's tremendous profits to be made from desalinization of toxic water that they've intentionally polluted, as well as all the water treatment plants. In fact, in the New World Order Exposed document, 1969, we discovered in that document way back in the 60s, that they said they would poison the water and have us drink our polluted water. So what has happened is, again, the international bankers, for the intent of creating water markets revenue, keep in mind, the United States is USA Inc. Sadly, when you type in United States into Dun & Bradstreet, you will find that the United States is incorporated,
yes,
as well as the EPA, the CDC, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the U.S. Forestry. These are all agencies that are working for the benefit and profit of the corporate structure, keeping in mind that all corporate charters are void of morality, ethics, or any reference to life. This is why we're all realizing something's terribly wrong, why government policies, politicians, and the corporate government isn't making any sense, because we don't understand how government really works.
Correct.
A very important book that I recommend everyone download and read immediately is The Great American Adventure, Secrets of America, by retired Judge Dale. He's a retired federal judge. Again, The Great American Adventure, Secrets of America. I also recommend everyone go to the homepage of stopthecrime.net and download Lawfully Yours. It's the very top link underneath the banner of stopthecrime.net, Yours. And what Lawfully Yours is, it contains material authored by federal retired Judge Dale, and it discusses strategies compiled by many others that are familiar with the commercial nature of our courts. And Judge Dale exposes our legal system that we were never taught about and reveals ways that we can defend ourselves from our corporate parasitic corporate government and unjust system. Mm-hmm. This is important. This is how we empower one another, by understanding that as long as we continue to consent, we're going to continue to absolutely find that we will end up in these smart cities. Of course, I know them as being human settlement zones. This is all part of the Wild Lands Project. Right now across the country, lands are being stolen because people are under the illusion they do not have adequate water. Now, people will walk away from their land once they believe there is an inadequate water supply to serve their needs. Many properties will go into foreclosure because we know ranchers rely upon production, food crops and or agriculture with farming with cattle and sheep and animals. And farms and ranches are already starting to go bankrupt. Here in the San Joaquin Valley, the Central Valley in California, in February of 2014, the federal government told all the ranchers they would no longer receive water from the aqueduct that flows through the valley. These farmers and ranchers have been in tremendous trouble for a number of years already. And when you drive through that area, you see large signs posted that Congress has turned this area into a dust bowl. No water, no food, no jobs. Sadly, the people in the Central Valley are being represented by law firms, and they believe that Congress has caused this. We have a de facto government. Most important to learn what James Traficant was imprisoned for. He was an Ohio congressman.
Yes.
And certainly of public record. And most importantly, everyone needs to know what he said, and I'll just tell you a few sentences of that now. But you can type in and get the full download of this congressional record dated March 17, 1993. He says, "Mr. Speaker, we are here in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history. The U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it's a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act of March 9, 1933. The receivers of the United States bankruptcy are the international bankers via the United Nations, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund." You can read this in its entirety. Now, to honor Traficant, who worked very hard to get the truth out back on March 17th of 1993, James Traficant died in a tractor accident on September 27th of 2014.
Huh.
He actually passed away just 2 days before Dr. Stan Monteith died, who has hosted Radio Liberty for over 20 years.
Yes.
It's our job now to extend their words. They have paid a high price for getting information out, and mm-hmm. we now must step in and support their efforts.
I'd like
getting
to,
back,
can I sing just a little bit more praise for Mr. Traficant, too? A lot of people might not be aware that if it was not for Jim Traficant's work, he was pivotal in transitioning the IRS, or transitioning the OTIS of of proof onto the IRS. So if the IRS were to come and say, you owe us money, it used to be that you had to defend yourself from them. You had to prove to them that you did not owe them money. And if it was not for the work of Jim Traficant, that OTIS would not have been transferred onto the IRS. And now we see that the IRS has to back up and substantiate their own claims, which has led to an amazing decrease in the amount of people who are subject to the criminal organization, which is known as the IRS. So he's done so much work for us. I had no idea that he had passed away. That really leaves me with a heavy heart.
Well, I want to continue with the conversation on water.
Yes.
Because this will be and is now becoming one of the greatest land theft opportunities that the global bankers and those in control are now trying to trick us into the belief that we have limited water resources. Mm-hmm. If there's only one thing that everyone needs to take away with this discussion today, it's that we have an abundance of water, and we are the water planet. And you can go to the primary water link on stopthecrime.net and also the Primary Water Institute and find all this information. They have been drilling primary water wells in Africa, where villagers now have water accessible in their villages, and they don't have to, in many instances now, walk miles and miles every day to fill a jug to compete with alligators and other predatory animals at these muddy water holes, and then to be robbed on their way back to their villages, those that steal their water. So I can tell you that there's an abundance of water. This has been being hidden from us. Again, aspects of fracking are that they reduce home values. So if you're in an area of fracking, understand your home values being decreased because the water is becoming toxic at the ground water level. Yeah. Also, we found a map on the Department of Interior website, an extremely disturbing map. The Department of Interior is also incorporated. It is working in tandem with the EPA. The water map that it talks about the potential water conflicts by 2025. And it's a color-coded map showing the western portion of the United States. And it's color-coded, which will show the anticipated unmet rural water needs. And this is a map that will show the levels of conflict. Conflict potentials are indicated on this map, where those conflicts are considered moderate, where conflicts are considered substantial, and where conflicts are considered highly likely. Hmm. And certainly in response to this engineered drought and the idea of scarcity across the country, there will be conflict because people will not want to walk away from their lands. Now, it's very important to know that I found on the OWL, O-W-L Foundation, again, this is all part of that YouTube, Water Wars Stealing Water.
And we went ahead and hosted that on today's news site. So if you can go to, if you can either go to stopthecrime.net and find that, or if you are already following along with today's news and the show page for today, we have hosted that video just right now. And we also, I want to let you know, Deborah, that Lawfully Yours and the report from Iron Mountain are both included in today's news as well. So people have a couple of options for finding that information. Please go ahead.
Excellent. Excellent. And also The Great American Adventure, Secrets of America by retired Judge Dale is another unbelievably important read. It reveals quite a bit of our history. Lawfully Yours is, again, a compilation of how we can take action. We must all now stick together. Mm-hmm. We must share all of this information. I am being pummeled with emails from all over the country now where people are telling me their stories of being literally assaulted by their local incorporated governments and have large reductions of water already onto their properties. Mm-hmm. But this water conflict map, as posted by the Department of Interior, again, an incorporated agency, in specifically on this OWL Foundation website, it defines what conflict is, because many of you may wonder, well, what is conflict map and anticipated substantial and moderate conflict? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what it tells us. Conflict is no joke, and the warning does not come overly cautious from overly cautious environmentalists. The warning comes from the most conservative bastion of the Bush administration. The Department of Interior has no qualms about pumping the water. But what they tell us is that, for an example, when you blow up the map of Sonoma County, where I am, and Marin County here in California, it says that they are identified as being color-coded dark yellow, status for conflict. The Department of Interior interprets this risk as substantial. In fact, not only is there substantial risk for conflict, the risk is calculated the same as Klamath County. Now, Klamath straddles the California-Oregon border. They say conflict has already commenced in Klamath County, and people have been shot and shot at. So this is how they're defining anticipated conflict, as they steal our lands under the illusion of a limited, scarce resource in which there is abundance. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell everyone right now, this is going to roll across California. In Ventura County in California, just a little bit south of Santa Barbara, about a week and a half ago, on September 28th, they enacted an emergency moratorium against well drilling. I am posting this segment of that meeting on stopthecrime.net. It will be under Primary Water and the Water Wars link.
Okay.
I will tell you, it is unbelievably diabolic. When you look at these ranchers that are certainly growing avocados, et cetera, that are being told that the wells that they have, they can keep repaired. No new wells will be allowed until the state of California makes certain recommendations in January. And one of the board members was saying that this is likely to end up being a moratorium forever. So we know that they're creating, they're limiting our opportunity for water. We must all inform ranchers and rural property owners who are on wells. That is most important, that they start identifying where the possibility of primary water is in their area. It is everywhere. It's a matter of finding the best locations to access it and getting well drillers to understand that this exists so that they drill in search for these locations. I can tell you that when drillers have found primary water, it has literally blown their well drilling out of the drill, out of the hole that they've drilled, and the water just explodes out in some instances.
Wow.
So I can say that we have an abundance being fooled. Now we're finding that we are being prohibited from drilling. So everyone needs to consider pulling wells now. Find out in your county how long those permits are good for. And because you may not be able to afford to drill a well right now, as you examine the opportunity to get to primary water. Again, those wells do not need to be deep. Keep in mind that water is attempting to surface. Another very important aspect, JD, of all of the injection wells that they've injected, over 680,000 of them throughout the country.
Right.
There was an EPA employee that had worked for the EPA 20-plus years who said that eventually people will get sick and many people will die from the poisons and toxins that the EPA worked with Washington to allow. Again, we're in a corporate parasitic reality now. We have predatory, lawless systems. And we are the enemy. When you look at Senate Report 93549, it tells you that the United States citizens are any wonder that we have the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. Of course, they can arrest us without provocation or without a warrant and imprison us indefinitely. We are the enemy. And I want to say one more thing. This is a water warning today, but I've got to bring forward the fact that there are many citizens throughout the United States and globally that are being assaulted by organized gang stalking assault teams. They're being harassed and followed by groups. They are being hit with directed energy weapons. And there is a song that someone I've had on my radio show, JD, because I am on the Rinse Radio Network, 6 p.m. Pacific time, and you can go to the archive. But I would recommend everyone listen to this song on YouTube. The words in this song is our reality, and those that are being targeted are well explained in the words of this song. The song is called Waves of Darkness. That's like waves, ocean waves, mm-hmm. Waves of Darkness. I would recommend everyone listen very carefully to the words. We are being hit and pummeled by directed energy weapons, and many people have been specifically assaulted more than others. Keep in mind, much of what my prior conversations have been about is the assault of the frequencies, the pulse microwave frequencies from all of our communication devices. Mm-hmm. I would also recommend that everyone get to all of their fire departments, their fire chiefs, and their local police. It's a very important download free from the homepage of StopTheCrime.net. It's an emergency warning to all first responders, letting them know that the frequencies, the wireless communication devices that they have are affecting their brains. We're going to have amped up anger in society, JD. We're going to have people that are committing crimes because they're being literally interfaced with frequencies, and they're literally not aware that they're shooting someone, and they may not even remember that they committed such a horrible crime. Wow. This is going to amp up. It already has. It's going to become more of a problem in the large population zones of the country.
Wow.
The Aquarius operations briefing that we have on the homepage of StopTheCrime.net, that's the Aquarius operations briefing, talks about the use of frequencies. The Aquarius operations group is a secret society that was tasked for mind control. So why are we in the position that we're in right now, JD? Why is everything seeming so horrific? Because sadly, there are various degrees of mind control, and certainly the mass media disinformation made an enormous part in creating the lack of understanding. We're being told everything is okay, mm-hmm. and everything is all right. If you turn on your radio or watch the television, everything is fine, and we're at the precipice of transhumanism, where humans are literally being decommissioned and replaced by machinery. I know this sounds absolutely outrageous. It is. I have a newly released YouTube. I would also recommend everybody watch this. It's called Technology, Extinction of Humanity. That is Technology, Extinction of Humanity. We just posted this yesterday. We attended an IEEE symposium, Institute for Electronics, Electrical and Electronic Engineers, just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
They talked about the future beyond 2025 and 2035. And humans literally be commissioned. They're defining what human will be, and it is not what we know it at this point. We're in a technology death trap. We're not asking for these technologies, and they're rolling out. Mm-hmm. We have not asked for, quote-unquote, cell signal by the deployment of hundreds of thousands of disguised cell phone towers, many of which are not even for the purpose solely of increasing our cell phone range, but actually able to download as we pass by information off of our computers.
Yes.
Also, the antennas are the same reality. I did a YouTube called The Cooking of Humanity, where I interviewed Gary Trower, a microwave weapons expert out of the UK, Wi-Fi. So what do we need to do? We need to read Lawfully Yours. We need to understand that water is in abundance and we are being deceived, and we can not consent lawfully and not out of rebellion, because they have weapons beyond our understanding of weaponry. And I would recommend everyone take a look app or document that we have posted on stopthecrime.net to understand the levels of technology that have been withheld from us that are being used in the silent weapons system of warfare that is now being not only conducted in the United States, but globally. The human family is massively being assaulted by a few that want total control and want absolute control of every single thing. And they're creating that out of misinformation, disinformation, mind control, and brainwashing. We must break free. So I'm recommending that everyone go to our solutions page on stopthecrime.net. Reduce as many wireless frequencies in your homes as possible. Certainly, safe an environment that you can while in your homes. Those of you that have smart meters, there, sadly, that is another massive intrusion. We've been getting a tremendous amount of emails on our websites lately. The three are now also finding that they're being hit with smart meters. The utility companies are telling them they're not the same thing as smart meters. That is not true. The meters that are being changed out across the country and globally are all massive data collection meters, intended to fit in with the climate action plans where you will be required to have a smart meter. You will be required to retrofit your homes with all RFID Energy Star appliances. Understand, Energy Star appliances are not manufactured in gas. So here in our climate action plan here in Santa Rosa, California, they're telling us that we must stop using gas appliances and gas devices. This is going to central control of all of us when the only resource that we'll have is electricity. We know that solar and wind certainly are not reliable because the weather is completely manipulated and controlled. So as soon as more and more people take on loans on their homes to implement solar, they're going to find that the weather will reduce their solar large percentages. Many people have already noticed that.
Right.
So I can say to you, too, that there are many new opportunities for solar. They just haven't allowed these to come to market yet, keeping in mind that what we're being given is already replaced by something better. And graphene, G-R-A-P-H-E-N-E, is a lightweight, adaptable new type of solar opportunity, 50 to 100 times more efficient than the current solar panels, and as thin as paper so it can roll out. So I can tell you that the assaults upon us are massive. Mm-hmm. They control the weather. They're manipulating the weather. They're causing horrific storm events and causing fires as well with these weaponized weather events. This is all part of the intentional chaos, the disruption of society, to keep us all in an amped-up state of concern, knowing that out of fear we will concede our last remaining freedoms. Do not move forward in fear. Empower yourselves with knowledge, because with knowledge we're not as easily deceived. Stopthecrime.net.
Absolutely. Everybody go to stopthecrime.net. Let's support Deborah. Deborah, I would love it if you could come back on the show, say, maybe once a month and keep us up to date on all of this.
Absolutely. Because we have to share this information and empower one another and understand how we can defend ourselves as best possible against some of these assaults upon us.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are. We know where you've been. We can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.